Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. In the previous lesson, we talked about how Windows provides two sets of APIs for building Windows Store apps. The first was the Windows Runtime Library, and then the second was the Windows Library for JavaScript, also known as WinJS. So the Windows Runtime Library is simply an API that's available to JavaScript as well as C#, Visual Basic, and C++ through projections that are specific to their languages and environments. Now, I don't pretend to understand completely how all that works under the hood, but specifically related to JavaScript, we learned in the previous lesson how the Windows Runtime API projection was available through a process called wwahost.exe, and it did two things for us. First of all, it hosts the app and provides an execution environment for our HTML and JavaScript, and we learned how it has the same HTML rendering engine and the same JavaScript execution engine as Internet Explorer 10.0. But it also provides access to the Windows runtime to allow your JavaScript to access all the core platform features of Windows, so we can get at user data and the file system. We can work with peripherals like the webcam and the communication and your network connection and so on. Then, secondly, there is the Windows Library for JavaScript, what I'll call from now on simply WinJS. It provides you the tools that you need to create apps, and it provides the CSS and JavaScript to give your applications the aesthetics and the Windows personality that make it look like a real Windows Store app. But it also provides you some core features, like we'll learn about in this lesson, as well as data binding and so on. So in this lesson, what I want to do is talk about some of the most basic features of the WinJS with regards to the core functionality. And by core functionality, I simply mean things like creating namespaces and classes. And in this lesson, we're going to use the WinJS to create what I call super objects. They're JavaScript objects, but they'll be enhanced with the superpower of observability. And so I'm going to demonstrate that along with binding to those objects. I'm going to demo how to do this both with JavaScript code and then how to do it declaratively by setting special attributes in HTML. So there was just too much to cover about WinJS in one video, so I decided to split it up into two. I've added a second lesson. So in the next lesson after this one, I'll extend this Hello World example that we're going to build to show the other features of WinJS, how to work with things like lists, which I called previously arrays on steroids. They also have the special power of observability, or rather change notification. And I'm also going to show how not only to create lists, but also create templates and then bind the two together. And then we're also going to look at pages, or rather page controls. So make sure you watch that next lesson as well, because it's kind of the second half of the things we want to talk about. And so right up front, I want to admit that I'm cheating in these two lessons. You ever heard the saying, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery? Well, keep that in mind, because I found an excellent talk at Build 2012 by Microsoft employees Chris Anderson and Josh Williams. It was entitled Introduction to Building Windows 8 Apps Using HTML and JavaScript. It's session 3-115. So in that session, they quickly walk through creating a simple app utilizing WinJS. And I just want to recreate the first 20 minutes or so of that talk at a more relaxed pace, aimed at somebody without a lot of existing WinJS and JavaScript knowledge, and maybe kind of smooth over some of the rough spots and maybe do a little bit more explanation. And my hope is that by taking this little side venture into this Hello World project and following what they did, essentially, and doing it in isolation, when we come back to working with the Contoso cookbook, we'll have a clearer idea of what WinJS is actually doing for us. So, as you can see, I've already got the Hello World application open. What I'm going to do, first of all, is just to start from scratch, I want to delete all the code in this default.js file. Now, if it isn't already open for you, make sure you open up the JS folder and then open up this default.js file. And I'm just going to hit Control-A on my keyboard and then the delete key. And what I want to do to get started is to do something like this, and this should look familiar to you. All right, so hopefully you'll recall from the JavaScript Fundamentals series on Channel 9 that I recorded how we can use this technique. Do you remember what it was called? It's a self-calling or self-executing anonymous function. And we create these in order to create a local scope for our code in order to avoid polluting the global namespace for our variables. So if this doesn't ring a bell for you, then please go back to the JavaScript Fundamentals series, watch specifically lesson number 10, Understanding Function versus Global Scope, to kind of refresh your memory. But the key here is that we want to be good JavaScript citizens, and this is a common practice for making sure that we don't step on any other JavaScript file or plugins code or so on. And we don't want them to step on us either. So any code that we write inside of this self-executing anonymous function will be private in nature. So that's great. Private is good. But what if we want to call some function to reference or call our private code in this self-calling anonymous function? And we want to call it from somewhere else in our application, whether from HTML or from another JavaScript file. Well, that's a pickle. There are ways in JavaScript to solve it, but in WinJS, it gives us this feature called namespaces so that we can actually expose things in a public way through a namespace. So what I'm going to do is create my first namespace here. So we're going to use the WinJS namespace in order to access its functionality. And we want to create a namespace, and to do that, we'll use the define function. All right, so the namespace.define function from WinJS allows us to define classes and functions that can be accessed from outside our private scope by using the namespace that we define. So in this case, we called our namespace example. So as you can see, the first parameter in this define function is the name that we want to use for our namespace. This is not a very descriptive namespace, but it should do for our little pithy example here. And then the second parameter, you can see that I've created an open and closed curly bracket, and that will allow us to define the members of this namespace. And there's a great article on MSDN that goes into more depth on namespaces. I think I've got it open right here. Yeah, it's Organizing Your Code with WinJS.namespace, and it explains why you want to do it and how to kind of utilize all the pieces of the namespace, and we're just going to demo a small portion of that. So make sure you take a look at that. But what I want to do is add a single member at this time to our namespace that we can access from outside of it using the value or the name ID. So in this case, whenever somebody calls ID, what we'll do is call a function. And inside that function, we're going to simply return getElementById, passing in the ID. So basically, this first member is just an alias for the getElementById function. So now, instead of having to type in like document.body.getElementById, all we'd have to do is something like this, example.id, and then pass in the name of something that we want to work with. So I might call it my div, for example, and now I'd have a reference in my JavaScript to something in my HTML called my div. And so let's go ahead and test that idea. I'm going to open up the default.html page. Let me make sure it's a little larger here so you can see it. And I'm going to remove the paragraph in the body and replace it with a div. And I'm going to set the ID equal to my div. And then just type in some content I want to replace here. All right. And let's save all that. And now what we want to do is go back to our default.js, and we're going to write some code that as soon as our application loads up, we're going to work with the DOM for our default.html page and replace that text. So here's what we're going to do. Okay, so let's start and walk through this. That first line of code, this var app equals winjs.application, this alias is the full name of the namespace, so we don't have to type so much. That's all it does. So winjs.application gives us access to key events in the app's lifecycle. In this case, what we want to do is write some code that will execute whenever, as soon as the onActivated event is fired in our app. So onActivated fires after the document object model has been loaded, and that coincides with the moments just before your splash screen disappears and your app's main page is displayed. So it's an important event in your app's lifecycle. So in our case, what we want to do is just some simple DOM manipulation, just to test that our little ID function that we created here in our namespace actually works. So we get a reference to my div by using example.id. In the next line, we actually set the text content to hello world. In order for us to actually have an opportunity to set up this event, we call app.start. And there's a great article on MSDN about this, the winjs.application.start function. And if you take a look at the example that they provide here, and you were to actually type this in and use it in a real application, what this would show you is that app.start will allow you to wire up all these events. If you were to comment out this line of code, the application would run without all of these messages being logged, all right? But because we call app.start, it gives us just a moment before the execution of our application to set up all of these event handlers. And so that's essentially what we're doing here, and make sure you read this article for more details. Let's go ahead and run the application now. And you can see that we have replaced the div tags content with hello world. Perfect. All right, so that you can see some of the basic features, some of the core features of creating namespaces and then referencing them, as well as working with the WinJS to get at key or to wire up key events in the lifecycle of our app. All right, so let's move on from there. What I want to do now is define a class. So here's what we're going to do. Okay, so here we're creating a class. Again, you can create classes and new instances of classes using just strict JavaScript. However, by using WinJS, it gives you a more C-sharp feel, a more object-oriented feel than just JavaScript by itself. So it's really helpful for me, coming from a C-sharp background, to think in these terms. But basically, a class has three parts. In this particular class, we only created a constructor. We didn't create any members, like public members, like properties or functions or so forth. And we didn't create any static members either. So we're just going to focus on the constructor in this case, which will execute every time that we create a new instance of this my class. And we could add some more stuff to it, but for now we're just going to leave it as is. The documentation, once again, here is our friend. It explains how to work with classes, why we might want to define them. It shows the implementation of public members as well as static members and so on. So I encourage you to take a look at that. So in this case, the constructor will be an anonymous function, and that anonymous function takes two arguments, element and options. Now, the guys who originally did this talk, they like to think of constructors that take element and option, or classes that have constructors that contain this method signature, as a control, something that can be applied to elements. And so in this case, we'll see how it works in just a moment here. It will allow us to pass in my div, for example, and then we will work on my div to set its style.fontsize, capital S, so note the camel casing here, and style size to 72 point. But it also accepts this options, which is an expando object, which allows the caller to pass in extra information into the constructor. Now, we don't really use it, we kind of ignore it here, but we define it anyway. If you're not familiar with the concept of an expando property or an expando object, didn't really talk about that in the JavaScript fundamental series. Basically, in JavaScript, you can add a key value pair to any object, as many as you want. You don't have to define them ahead of time. All you need to do is actually just start referencing them and using them. And so here's a few simple examples. I create my object as an object, and then I set properties using the dot notation and also the square bracket notation. But at this point now, we've actually added properties to the object in an ad hoc nature. All right. So we'll see how this options input parameter works a little bit later in a different context. But the idea here is that whenever we create a new instance of the class, we can also pass in some additional data that might be useful in constructing the object. So now actually let's use our new class, and so we're going to call new example.myClass, and we'll pass into the constructor a reference to the div. And then let's save it and let's run it, and we see how it gets applied to our div by styling up the text inside with the font of 72 point. Okay, so we've created a namespace and class with WinJS, and we've designated the class as a control because we gave it this special method signature that accepts both the element that we want to operate on and some additional options. What if we make this into a declarative control so that we can apply it in the HTML instead of using this style where we're actually creating a new instance of the class and passing in kind of implicitly? So let's do this. Let's go over to our default.html, and right after we set the ID equals to my div, I'm going to add the special attribute dataWinControl equals, and then we'll set the control equal to my class. All right, so now my div hosts an instance of example.myClass, which will implicitly call the constructor and pass the div element to it and hopefully operate it. If we did it right, we'll get the exact same result as before. Now there's one extra step. Because we're working with this in a declarative sort of way, we need something to process this instruction, this dataWinControl. And what we need to do, and we only need to do it once here, is to actually call this winjs.ui.processAll function. And so we're basically saying to WinJS that we want you to process the declarative instructions that we added to UI elements, or in this case, the div element, in our web page. So this is how you actually kind of apply the bindings of what we defined here for this div to the actual example.myClass. And again, if we did this correctly, we won't see any change in the result, but we were able to change from an implicit style to a more declarative style. So again, WinJS kind of manages all of that and makes it possible through this a set of attributes that are kicked off by this process all function. All right, so let's move on now. And what we're going to do next is create a data model for our HTML page. So to do that, we're going to create a binding. And let me just type here for a second, and then I'll explain what I'm doing. Okay, so what we did previously here and here was that we bound styling, but we can also bind data and bind it in such a way that if the underlying class or object ever changes, then the HTML elements that display that data can be updated automatically. So to make that happen, it's really a two-step process. First, we create an observable object. So we're creating an object here, and then we're passing it immediately to this as function. And the winjs.binding.as function is our way of taking a regular old JavaScript object and creating a projection on top of it that allows for change notification. So one of the features that's missing from normal JavaScript objects is the ability to fire an event whenever this object is changed. And we'll get to that part in just a moment. But here we're creating an object with a single field called time. And we initialize time with this date function, which returns us a date object. And we just want the string portion of that, specifically the time portion of it as a string. And so now that we've called as, we are able to observe whenever this time changes, and all we have to do next is listen for an event that fires anytime this time is actually changed somewhere else in our code. So let's go ahead and set up that binding. We're going to go to this, and I don't think we need this anymore, so I'm going to comment this out. And we're going to go example.model.bind, and here's where we wire it all up. Whenever time changes in our model from our example namespace, then call this function. Whatever value time has changed to will be passed into the value input parameter, and then we want to set my div's text content, instead of hello world, we'll set it to the actual value that's passed in. So even the first time that we make a modification to this time field, it should fire off this function, replacing the content of my div with the current time, this time that's been set here. All right, so let's see it in action and let's actually run it. Awesome. So, you know, this works, but unfortunately it only grabs the time once. We really need a real test of this binding to watch that event fire time after time after time, like a clock, for example. So let's create a big clock app. And to do that, we're just going to add one simple instruction here right underneath our where we created our binding of time. And we'll use the JavaScript function called setInterval, and that allows us to define a function that's fired off every so how many milliseconds, in this case every 250 milliseconds. So this will happen, what, 4 times a second? And when it happens, when it fires off, what we want to do is reset the value of our model object and its time field to basically that same line of code here, to local time string. So now we're changing time 4 times a second, and when that value does actually change, we want it reflected then in my div, and that happens through the binding we set up here, which is watching for changes to time, and when it fires off, well, you know the rest. Let's go ahead and run it. Hey, so now we have an actual working clock, and we're ready to sell it in the App Store, as they joke in the original presentation. So we've done this in a very imperative sort of manner, working purely with JavaScript. What if we did this declaratively? So back here, let's go ahead and add another attribute to our div, and when bind this time, what are we going to bind? We're going to bind the text content attribute of our div control to this time field, all right? So let's save that. And next, what we want to do is beneath this process all, we want to create a process all that is in reference to binding. So process all, and we're going to pass in kind of two things. First of all, the root element. So where do we want to start looking for items that we want to bind to? And so in this case, we're just going to start at the document and we'll just go to the root element. So we'll start at the body and work our way down, looking for items that need to be bound to, all right? Looking for instances of this data when bind attribute. And then, what are we going to bind to? The example.model. And so this is the context, the data context for our binding. That's why we can just specify the word time here. and it'll look for time in example.model, and it'll find its definition here, or here, okay? Now, if we did this right, we can get rid of this here, and the binding should be set up declaratively using this attribute instead. All right, so let's run it, and it still works. So we did it right. Okay, so in this lesson, very simple, but we see the power of WinJS core features. In the next lesson, we're going to tack on more binding and lists, and we'll demo page controls and even more. So we'll see you there. Thank you. Thank you.